The Return of A.J. Raffles by Graham Greene. A stage play based on characters created by E.W. Hornung and adapted for radio by Gordon House. With Jeremy Clyde as A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny Manders. It's the late summer of 1900. We're in a suite of rooms in Piccadilly, London. Chambers originally owned by A.J. Raffles, killed fighting for king and country in the South African War.
Bunny! Bunny, for God's sake, hurry up! The curtain at Covent Garden won't stay down for us!
I'm coming, Bozet!
Well, let me in. Why lock the door? You needn't be so careful of your precious virtue. Splendid, yes. Bunny! Bunny!
Gross impatience! How dare you, Bozet? That was Raffles' bat.
A sacred relic.
He used it in the last test he played in. He made 105 not out against Australia and won us the Ashes.
Ashes? How very morbid. But, Bunny, we must be off. Poor Stephen will think we've gone without him.
No, poor Stephen. I can't tie this wretched tie.
Turn round, I'll tie it for you.
Oh, I was never very good at it. Raffles always had to help me. And one forgets things, you know, after 2 years picking oakum in prison.
Choky, Oscar always calls it. I must admit, the back of your neck has a certain epicene charm. But I wish your hair would grow faster. It has a distinctly penal look. Now that is a very fine bow, Bunny. Raffles couldn't have done better.
Thank you, Rosie.
Are you always faithful to your Raffles, Bunny?
Always. He was a great man. And he died a hero's death at Spionkop.
Whatever have you got around your sleeve?
Well, it's only 6 months since the Boers killed
him. Oh, you can't possibly go to Covent Garden wearing a black armlet. Take it off at once. You think the Queen has died. Be a bit exaggerated even then.
Can't I mourn him for 6 months? You don't know all the things he did for me.
I know what you told Oscar in Reading Jail. That Raffles escaped to the war and left you to carry the blame.
I know I told Wilde that. But Raffles was right to escape. He wouldn't have got off with a 2 year sentence. That old monster Mackenzie of Scotland Yard had been on his trail for years. I was only small game. Why, Mackenzie even spoke up for me at the trial.
Oh, yes, I remember. He said you had a weak character and had been seduced by an arch criminal.
In a self-righteous Scotch accent which made it even worse.
Were you seduced, Bunny?
He only meant mentally.
Did Raffles bowl as well as bat?
Of course not. He never looked twice at a woman.
I begin to love you, Bunny.
No.
Oh, don't moo at me. Like a brother, of course.
Yes.
Ever since Oscar went to Choky, I've discovered a strong interest in the criminal classes.
So I've heard.
Oh, wouldn't you sometimes like to return to a life of crime?
Oh, there'd be no fun in it without Raffles. And no future. Do you know, I really believe he chose to die at Spionkop to help me in the only way he could.
Really?
He made his will the night before he was killed. They found it on his body, stained with blood. He left me everything. These chambers and everything in them.
You fascinate me, Bunny. I have the glimmerings of an idea.
Uh-huh.
A glorious idea. An idea that would have appealed to Raffles.
Come in. Mr. Manders, sir.
Yeah, what is it, Smith?
Being new in this situation, I want to do what's right.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
You see, there's an elderly man lingering around. He asked for you, sir, and me knowing you were with his lordship here, I told him you was out, but he hasn't gone away, sir.
Now, what does he look like?
Not a gentleman, sir.
Well, couldn't you be a little more precise? And fat or lean, tall or short?
Somewhere between the two, sir.
His height, then?
Well, if you said about the middle height, sir, you wouldn't be far wrong. And he has a grey beard, much like his Royal Highness's.
My God, Bozet. I believe it's Inspector Mackenzie.
Hmm.
Has he a Scotch accent?
He has some sort of accent, sir. I wouldn't like to define it.
Ah. Well, tell him we've received a telegram that I've gone for a week to Boulogne.
Yes.
I'd better say to Monte Carlo. Yeah. Otherwise, he'll be slipping across on a cheap excursion.
Mr. Manders.
It is, Inspector Mackenzie.
What are you up to, my man? Coming in without so much as a knock.
The law doesn't knock, porter. The law enters.
What do you want, Inspector?
Oh, just a wee word or two. But I make all doubt if you'd want them spoken in public.
You can go, Smith. Yes. But when this gentleman leaves, see that he really leaves.
Well, that I will, sir. But if you want him thrown out...
No. One doesn't throw a policeman out.
Well, if you say so, sir. The tweeds alone deserve it.
He'll come to no good end if he has no mere respect for the law. No, perhaps this gentleman, too, will be good enough.
This gentleman, Inspector, is my friend Lord Alfred Douglas, son of the Marquess of Queensbury. Mm-hmm. You'll have heard of the Marquess. He's put up many a boxing match for the aid of police charities.
All the same, sir, I wouldn't think you'd lack a lord to hear what I have got to ask you.
You can't blackmail me, Inspector. Lord Alfred knows all about my past.
That's more than I can say, sir.
I can't understand a word he is saying, Bunny.
You ken Lady Axminster?
Oh, intimately.
She's muckle worried about her peril.
Oh, is she?
You never proved anything against Mr. Raffles. And you ought to have the decency to let the dead sleep in peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Raffles died like a hero.
Well, there be still questions I'd have asked it, your great hero, Mr. Raffles, if he were here now.
Unfortunately, there's not much chance of that, Inspector.
And what was the name you gave, sir? Lord...
I gave no name. My friend presented you to me. I am Lord Alfred Douglas.
Your name's well known to me, my lord.
You seem to have a poor opinion of me.
I keep my thoughts to myself. Wouldn't mind, Mr. Manders, if I took a wee peek round your apartment?
Known as Chambers, Inspector in Albany. Have you a search warrant?
I've not. I can easily telephone a magistrate.
No, go ahead, Inspector. My bedroom is through there. My bathroom opens out of it, but I suspect you know your geography. The kitchen's up the stairs outside.
I can find my way around.
You were superb, Bunny. You must be very used to the police. Have you really got Lady Axminster's pearls?
Of course not. Raffles popped them.
Just before your porter arrived, I had a wonderful idea. Ever since poor Oscar's trial, I've been puzzling how to revenge him on my odious father. Now here I am with a cracksman as a friend. I want you to burgle my father's house. He's mean as hell, but he always has a lot of ready cash in his safe for baccarat.
No, I was never any good as a cracksman without Raffles.
Well, I'll help you. It'll be as easy as robbing a blind man.
Bosey, I've lost my nerve for the game.
I'll be with you, Bunny. And next week my moronic father has a house party for baccarat. It's an ideal opportunity.
Would it be his country house or his town house that you plan to rob, Lord Alfred?
AJ, you... Good God, you're alive.
Very much alive, Bunny.
And in great need of a Sullivan.
It's impossible.
You've always been inclined to dispose of me prematurely, Bunny. You remember when I drowned in the Mediterranean under the eyes of old Mackenzie? Oh, by the way, these tweeds are quite his style, aren't they? I spotted them in a second-hand clothes shop in Harwich when I landed this morning.
Mr. Raffles.
Lord Alfred Douglas. I've read a lot about you, sir, in the Cape Times.
But Raffles, Spion Cop, that will stain with your blood.
But not my blood, Bunny. The poor devil beside me had his face blown off, so I took the opportunity to exchange papers before the Boers got to me. The blood was his.
And the Boers got you, Mr. Raffles?
The Boers got me, Lord Alfred. But they were no cleverer than poor old Mackenzie. In fact, I took a souvenir away with me. General Botha's gold watch, inscribed by President Kruger himself. I had to leave the chain behind.
Oh, AJ. AJ, I feel alive again. But tell me, why did you dress up as Mackenzie?
It was the sight of these hideous tweeds that did it. Besides, it's better for Raffles to stay legally dead. Now, Lord Alfred, what is all this about avenging Mr. Wilde?
At my detestable father's country house party. I hope now that he has you to help him, Bunny will agree to a little burgling.
Ah, but will I help him, Lord Alfred? Lying out there on Spion Cop, I had a dream. The old Raffles would be dead, and someone, perhaps with the insignificant name of Jones, would land at Harwich. Who knows, after a time, Jones's talents might be spotted. A good slow bowler and no mean batsman. And you know, lying flat with my nose on the burnt grass of Spion Cop, I imagined I was smelling the turf at Lord's on a hot summer's day.
They'd recognize you at once, AJ.
You didn't recognize me in Mackenzie's beard, but that fraud, W.G. Grace. Would you recognize him without his beard?
Well, no.
So where does your father keep his cash, Lord Alfred?
A safe in his bedroom. A very old-fashioned one. Behind the painting of a dog in a basket by Landseer. That's all he cares for, dogs and pugilists. Will you do it, sir?
And what will you get out of it, Lord Alfred?
A story to make Oscar laugh.
I prefer to work with men who want money. They're more reliable.
Huh. Give me any share you like. I'll send it to Oscar. He's in Paris, miserably poor.
I much admire your friend. He was reckless in the pursuit of one passion. It's even more reckless to be divided between two, like myself. But how is one to decide? Cricket or burglary? There are such poetry and drama in them both. Though the poets, I think, have only celebrated cricket. Do you remember, there's a breathless hush in the close tonight. Ten to make and the match to win. A bumping pitch and a blinding light. An hour to play and the last man in. And it's not for the sake of a ribboned coat or the selfish hope of a season's fame, but his captain's hand on his shoulder smote. I don't much like that last line. Smacks too much of Inspector Mackenzie. I think I could be happy enough with cricket and to hell with burglary. But what would you do, Bunny, all the long summer?
I'd be in the crowd cheering your hat-trick, or your century.
Ah, you see, Lord Alfred, Bunny votes for cricket.
There's not only my disreputable father's cash, Mr. Raffles. Every guest will have brought money to pay his losses. There will be thousands of pounds in the house that night.
Lord Alfred, I'll need a list of all the house guests and the rooms they occupy.
I can get it from the housekeeper tomorrow.
And a plan of the house floor by floor.
I'll draw you one.
Are our bicycles in trim for a country ride, Bunny? It's not the job for a hansom.
There.
My Beeston Humber and your Royal Sunbeam and the good Dunlop tyres. They leave tracks like a rattlesnake, Lord Alfred, but they're the most popular brand. Nothing to distinguish our snake from all the other snakes on a wet road.
So you'll do it.
What a devilishly clever tempter you've always been. You tempted your friend Wilde to defy your father, the Scarlet Marquis, they call him, don't they? Mm. And Wilde ended in Reading Jail.
You're not afraid, Raffles.
Of course I'm afraid. Very much afraid. What poetry would be left in life if one couldn't feel fear? Admirably on time, Bunny.
You've forgotten to turn your waistcoat. Oh, and where's your black tie?
I saw myself in the glass and couldn't bear it. A hero of Spion Kop can become a Chelsea pensioner, but never a waiter. Anyway, I intend to mingle with the guests, Bunny.
Well, are you carrying a bottle of champagne on a tray?
I admit I took that in a misguided moment. I followed a fella to the cellar, and I couldn't resist snatching a bottle myself. There was a tray handy.
He's just been here. I thought he was you for a moment.
He's left a Pommery, and I've bought a Mum 84. Enough said, Bunny. Now, sketch me the battlefield. Rope safely attached to the balcony.
Of course. Now, there's a dressing room through there, yes. And a bathroom beyond. And look here, Jay. Here's the Landseer which guards the safe.
Ah, yes. And here's a very handsome gold box.
Yes.
Not in the best of taste, but melted down. I bet you it weighs around 100 ounces. Some diamonds of the first water in the lid. Plume and feathers. Well, obviously a present from the Prince of Wales. Sounds unpatriotic, but I long to pry them off, Bunny.
Are they large enough to recut?
Best ones are. Bunny.
Yes?
There's a smut on your nose. That doesn't go with the evening dress.
Well, it was an infernal scramble to get onto the balcony. Anyway. What first, AJ? We'd better move fast.
Oh, Bunny, Bunny, you've forgotten all my lessons. One must never burgle in a hurry. It's bad for the nerves. Like putting on your pads too soon. But the men are all sitting down happily to their baccarat, and the Scarlet Marquis never goes to bed before one.
Hey, look at the dressing table. Scent, powder, all sorts of frippery.
Well, either the Scarlet Marquis takes after his son, or he's got a woman with him. That's awkward. You can never depend on a woman's bedtime. Sick headache, quarrel with her lover. Life would really be so much easier without her.
Well, at least the safe's where you said it was.
Nice old-fashioned model, Burroughs of Birmingham. I had a business in the 50s, in those dear old trustful times.
Ah,
satisfying the sight of gold is. To think there are economists who want a paper currency. Bunny, that gold box on the dressing table. Bring it here. Gold cries for gold.
It's full of letters.
Well, get rid of them there now. No, no, Bunny. Not on the floor, in your pockets. Oh.
Let's be off, AJ. The box alone is worth a huge amount.
Put it under your cloak.
AJ, for God's sake, look. This is a woman's room.
I can hear a woman talking in the passage. Quick, Bunny, onto the balcony.
Come in.
You never rang, Mum.
I don't really need you tonight, Mary. You were up very late yesterday.
I'm not a bit tired, Mum. You'll never manage.
I undressed myself easily enough before I married. I don't suppose I've forgotten how.
You'll get yourself all tangled up. I'm sure you will.
Well, go and turn on my bath and we'll see.
Yes, Mum. Oh, Mum, there's quite a cold draught from the window. I'd better close it.
No, let it be, Mary. He likes the room fresh. He says it makes the bed warmer. Besides, he likes to smoke his last cigar.
A cigar? In the bedroom, Mum? Do you like that?
I like what he likes, Mary.
That's love, isn't it? Real love.
Yes, I suppose it is.
I will give you the keys of my heart, and we will be married till death us do part. Madam, will you walk? Madam, will you talk? Madam...
That's enough.
Sorry, Mum.
Go to bed, Mary.
Yes, Mum. Good night, Mum.
Good night. Sleep well.
Good Lord.
You clear off by the balcony, Bunny. Where are the bicycles?
Hidden in the shrubbery to the left of the door as you come out. I'll be waiting for you there.
No. You leave at once with that box.
I don't leave unless you come with me.
Well, don't be an ass. How can I leave with all that lovely money lying around the baccarat table?
Somebody's sure to spot you, AJ. These are the sort of fellows who go to Lord's.
I'm dead, Bunny.
Now, you've always said there must be two ways of escape. I'll guard the balcony until you're clear.
Bunny?
Hmm?
It's not the young woman, is it?
AJ.
Tell me the truth. I grant you she has the slender flanks of a young fawn.
Don't be a fool.
Oh, I've occasionally been attracted by a female object myself. In the absence of a good chef, Bunny, they serve to warm the soup.
Back, Bunny. Go on, you ass. No argument. I can manage this. Take the box and get back to Albany. I'm going.
Alice. It's Bertie.
Your Royal Highness.
Who the hell are you?
Jones.
Jones?
I know it's a somewhat usual name, Your Royal Highness.
My name is Portland. Mr. Portland.
I thought you...
I advise you not to think along those lines, Mr. Jones. I am Mr. Portland.
Mr. Portland.
Now, what the hell are you doing in this room?
I understood it was Lord Queensberry's room, sir. He asked for champagne.
Well, it is Lord Queensberry's room. But he's been kind enough to lend his room to a friend of mine. Oh, dear. Pommery. A very common little Pommery.
I felt sure there'd been a mistake, Mr. Portland, and so I brought another bottle. A Mum 84.
By God, you're an intelligent fellow, Jones. Excuse me. Alice. How much longer are you going to be?
Only 2 minutes, Bertie.
Only 2 minutes. Multiply that by 10, Jones, and you'll be near the truth. By the way, how is it that you're wearing a white tie and a white waistcoat?
I haven't got black ones, sir.
What sort of waiter are you?
An amateur one, sir. I'm sure you know what it is to be temporarily short of funds. I put my name down at an agency. Extra assistance was required here in a hurry, and I quite forgot about the tie and the waistcoat.
You mean that's your own suit? You've got a damn good tailor, Jones.
I'm afraid, sir. It smells mothballs. I've been away in South Africa.
Looking for diamonds?
Wounded and taken prisoner at Spion Kop, sir.
You were there? Oh, sit down, my man, and tell me more. A soldier mustn't stand in front of a non-combatant.
I would rather stand, sir, in your case.
Sit down, I said.
If it's a command...
It is. So, your name is Jones, eh?
As certainly, sir, as yours is Portland.
What regiment?
Mounted Light Infantry, sir.
Your commander?
Colonel Thornycroft, sir, under General Woodgate.
You were in the first assault, then?
Yes, sir, with some Lancashire companies and the Royal Engineers.
So you really were there, Jones. Oh, you mustn't mind my questions. I've met a good few beggars in Piccadilly who claim to have been at Spion Kop. Are you South African?
No, sir, but I enlisted at Cape Town.
What were you doing there?
To you, Mr. Portland, I would like to tell the truth. I was travelling abroad for my country's good.
Ah, yes, I've done a bit of that myself. We seem to have more than one thing in common. Jones.
Sir.
Have a cigar. Yeah, this is a good girl. She lets me smoke.
If you don't mind, Mr. Portland, I'd rather have a Sullivan.
Please yourself. Good brand, mind, the Sullivan. You know, I think you and I might try the champagne.
You honour me too much, sir.
Oh, I wish I could honour every man who fought at Spion Kop. For you and me, Jones, the mum. Pommery is good enough for the ladies.
How did you
escape?
Well, it's not so hard, sir, from a Boer prison. I've been in tighter spots at home. I even brought away a souvenir. I had the honour of being interrogated by General Botha himself.
Louis Botha? From President Kruger? By God, Jones, you're a man after my own heart. I only wish I could show this to my mother. It would make the old lady's eyes sparkle.
Give it to her, Mr. Portland.
No.
I would be proud to feel that I had given her a moment's pleasure.
Well, it's impossible. You earned this at Spion Kop.
She has earned it, Mr. Portland, more than any of us.
You make me ashamed, Jones. If you ever need a reference...
I'll write to Mr. Portland.
And must I call it a present from Private Jones?
Corporal Jones, sir. Say one of the English Joneses.
Thank you, Jones. You know, if it wasn't for my mother, you and I wouldn't be talking together here. You see, I made her a rash promise a few years back to play no more baccarat. Presumably, Jones, you have been blessed with a mother.
Well, she died too early, sir, for me to have encountered her socially.
Well, she taught me very severely about gambling. I tried in vain to persuade her that a game of baccarat played by rich men for stakes they can afford is no more gambling than a bottle of champagne at dinner is alcoholism. Well, I've kept my promise. We've been playing bridge all the afternoon. Naturally, the boys down there wanted to change to something stronger, so I came up here to talk to Alice.
I'm hardly such good company.
Well, one doesn't want to talk to a lady about Spion Kop. Oh, dear, what an awful muddle Jones that was. Poor General Woodgate. I knew him slightly. He was lucky to die.
I was lying close by when they came to carry him away. Shot through the eye, I heard him sobbing. Let me alone, let me alone.
Alice, you kept me long enough.
2 minutes, Bertie.
2 minutes still. She'll have got that boat in the bath with her. She calls it the Britannia. She likes sailing it up and down between her legs. Scylla and Charybdis, she calls them. I've been wrecked there sometimes myself. Have a little more champagne, boy.
Thank you, sir.
Another 10 minutes at least. good women have such a passion to be clean? If they only knew what really takes our fancy. Do you know Paris well?
I've spent a little time there.
Do you know La Goulue at the Moulin Rouge?
I haven't had that chance.
Oh, fine, fine woman. I can talk to her as I can talk to you, as if I were real.
Aren't we all real, sir?
I will tell you a parable, Jones. Once I took a walk with friends in the East End of London. I saw the very poor and how they lived. When I tried to give them money, my friends hustled me into a cab. I was wrong, of course. You don't, if you think, give a starving cat milk, and you can't solve the problem of poverty with a handful of guineas, but what hurt me was that I'd come there to talk to them, and my friends had carried me around like a wooden doll. I wasn't real, any more than a plaster image in a Roman church. To be real for a little while, we have to pretend that you are Jones and I am Mr. Portland. I like women because they let one pretend. My word, Jones, this mum is very fine.
Yes, sir.
You know, you and I belong to a very special moment of time. La fin de siècle, the papers call it, don't they? But, you know, it's more than just the end of any century. I have an awful fear that my nephew Willie, with his talk of Huns and Attila and inspiring fear, represents the future. I prefer my old mother and senseless, honourable Spionkop and La Goulue, of course. Well, you better go back to your job, Jones. I don't want you to lose it by keeping a lonely man company.
Sir, let me in.
The Scarlet Marquis. The door is not locked, Queensbury.
Sir, there is an inspector from Scotland Yard downstairs.
Of course there is. I carry policemen about with me like an umbrella.
No. This is not one of your troops, sir. There is a special branch man with him.
Just anarchists again, I suppose. Is it me or you they want to blow up?
The inspector says there is a plot to rob your friend.
Alice? Poor girl, I doubt if all her jewellery is worth £100.
Oh! My lens, sir.
Your what?
Who put it on the bed? I've been robbed.
What? Ah, so it was you, not Alice, they were after. Thank God for that.
But I have been robbed, sir.
So you mentioned.
£500 gone.
Only bank cashiers calculate exact amounts of money without vulgarity. Just leave it that you've been robbed. Now have a glass of your excellent champagne.
You sit there swilling my champagne as though nothing important had happened. Don't you understand, sir, what £500 means?
I begin to understand what it means to you.
Inspector! Inspector!
I'm coming, sir. One must forgive him, Jones. The Marquis consorts too much with pugilists for his manners.
Quite, sir.
Inspector Mackenzie, your Royal Highness.
I am Mr. Portland in this house, Inspector. Please remember that.
Now, look here, Inspector. Over here. My safe. Broken open. £500 gone.
Not broken open, my lord. There are a few sovereigns left. Five, six, around a dozen, maybe. The thief seems to have been disturbed.
Aren't you going to take fingerprints?
Oh, every thief kens all about fingerprints, sir. I never fash myself to carry powder around with me. How long would you have been here, sir?
Well, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour.
He's left his rope behind. A very fine manila rope. It puts me in mind of a cracksman called Raffles, who led me many a dance. But he's dead. God rest his soul.
I'm told you spoke of a plot, Inspector.
Yes, sir. I talked in London with a gentleman from the special branch. They deal with plots. I only deal with crime.
What sort of plot?
Well, it seems, sir, they have an agent in the German embassy, what we call an informer. And he told them that they're out to get certain letters.
Have you been indiscreet again, Queensbury?
God damn it, Inspector. £500 gone and you babble about letters.
It's not exactly your lordship who's concerned.
Well, who is? Come to the point, man.
These letters were addressed to a lady staying here. A lady his lordship lent his room to.
Well, what in heaven's name would the Germans want Alice's letters for?
To publish them in the German press, sir. Oh, mind you, that's what the special branch say.
By God, it's possible. A typical idea of Willie's. I suppose I would look a bit foolish. All the same, it hardly seems worth a plot.
I don't know what you're all talking about. He has stolen £500.
Oh, if you must talk like a bank cashier, Queensbury, be accurate. 500 minus 12.
Where were the letters kept, sir, if not in the safe?
Well, the lady kept them, I believe, in a girl's cigar box I'd given her.
They were dangerous, sir?
Oh, they were worse, Inspector. They were badly written.
And this gold box, sir, she didn't keep it in that safe there?
No, no. The safe belongs to Lord Queensbury. The last time I saw the box, it was on the dressing table.
And it's not there now.
No. Now you mention it, it isn't.
I think, sir, you said that you and this gentleman came up about that time.
Oh, no. Mr. Jones was here when I arrived.
Here?
Yes. He'd brought me a rather better champagne than Lord Queensbury's first waiter had sent up. A very good Mum 84.
I've only 2 dozen bottles left. Who is this, Mr. Jones?
A gentleman I am proud to have met who fought at Spion Cop.
I insist on knowing who this man is. This is my house.
I am second waiter with the Mum 84, Lord Queensbury.
How dare you sit there in my room like a gentleman?
Mr. Portland ordered me to sit. Mr. Portland, unlike you, has a natural authority. So I sat, and he hasn't asked me to rise.
Who the hell are you? You aren't one of my men.
Thank God, no.
I know who you are.
Forgive me, Mr. Portland, if I get...
I've got you. I'll tell you who he is, gentlemen. E.J. Raffles. Come back from the dead.
Be careful of my shoulder, Mackenzie. Still a bit of Boer shrapnel lodged there.
Raffles, Mr. Jones?
I did hint to you, sir, that I was incognito, like yourself.
I saw you in 96 at Lord's. 105 not out against Australia. You won us the Ashes.
Well, I regret to say, sir, W.G. Grace also played a small but grandiloquent part.
You infernal scoundrel, where is my money?
I gather there are some £12 still in the safe. As for the rest, you can find some of them if you search me, but I would prefer the cleaner hands of Inspector McKenzie.
Why,
Marquis, remember the Queensbury rule.
Allow me, sir.
Raffles?
Sir.
Where you at Spion Cop?
To you, sir, I have told no lies.
Very well. Take off the handcuffs, Inspector. This man has fought for his country, which is more than you or I have done.
He has robbed me, and he has robbed you, sir.
On the contrary, he has given me a present of inestimable value. He will go quietly to Scotland Yard. I make myself responsible.
I'm afraid I can't obey you, Mr. Portland.
Inspector, I shall not always be Mr. Portland.
I'm sorry, sir, for disorganizing your evening. It wasn't my intention. And if I'd known who that gold box had belonged to...
I will get my coachman out of bed and drive you to London myself. I intend to see justice done on this scoundrel.
I think, Mr. Portland, you are more interested in the letters than in the gold box.
Well, one can always buy a new box at Asprey's. I'd hate to rewrite my letters.
I might be able to recover the letters, sir. There seems to be a basis for a bargain.
You cannot bargain with a lawman.
I'm told the special branch is sometimes more amenable. Now, Mackenzie, if I helped you lay your hands on the mystery man...
The man with the rope.
No. The waiter with the pommery, of course.
Ah, Alice.
Bertie, what on earth are these people doing in our room?
My dear Bunny, you gave me quite a start. Slinking in like a thief.
I am a thief.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. How tactless of me.
Raffles is caught.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I won't be long before the police are here. They know we always work together.
Ah.
I left the rope behind. I hoped Raffles would use it. I hid in the shrubbery with the bicycles until I saw him driven away in handcuffs with Inspector Mackenzie and another man.
The burglary failed.
Oh, we did what you wanted. While I was hiding, I could hear your father baying like a pack of foxhounds for his money. Here it is. Or part of it. By this time, Inspector Mackenzie has the rest.
Whose box is it?
Your father's, I suppose. A present from the Prince of Wales.
Impossible. My father would have pawned it long ago.
Well, open it. You'll find about half the money he had in the safe.
Oh, he'll be fighting mad.
Now take your share and get out before the police come.
The boat train for Victoria leaves at 9. Come with me, Bunny. Oscar's in Paris at the Hotel d'Alsace. He'll be glad to see us. Poor devil, he badly needs the money.
Look, take it all and clear out. I won't need it in jail. You've done enough harm, Bosie. Your errors of judgment always lead others to prison.
What do you mean, Bunny?
There was a woman sleeping in your father's room.
Huh. Well, I suppose he keeps a whore. He's never been able to keep a wife.
This was no whore.
How very odd.
There wasn't one woman on the guest list you gave us.
Strange. A woman incognito. It wasn't our dear old queen by any chance, was it?
It wasn't. I saw her undress.
You seem to have had a mouvementé evening.
You find it amusing, don't you?
Well...
Be off, Bosie. It's not going to be so funny when the police arrive.
But I've done nothing, Bunny. I've been innocently asleep. I had a dream of an enormous pineapple.
They'll make you out an accomplice before the fact. Or after the fact, or both.
Oh, I suppose it would save a bit of argument with the police if neither I nor the gold were here. I hate arguing with inferiors. They're so apt to raise their voices.
Have a good time in Paris.
I doubt if I shall. Oscar writes the place is full of Americans and Germans. Oh, do change your mind, Bunny, and come too.
I was alone for 2 years in prison without Raffles. I'm not going to let him suffer the same way. Too late, Bosie. Here they come.
Excuse me. The door was unlocked.
Who on earth?
I will explain, sir. You and I belong to similar services. I was hiding in the same bushes. There were two bicycles. You took one, I took the other.
You took Raffles' Beast and Humber? You're a damn thief.
Those are not terms we employ in my service or yours.
What the hell are you talking about?
I think I've met you somewhere before.
Yes, my lord, that is true. At the Narcissus Club in Archester.
Ah, are you a waiter there?
Nine. I am a member like you, Lord Alfred.
Ah.
On a secret mission, one suffers loneliness.
Oh, yes.
No one to speak to. Mm. That is bad for the head.
Yes.
It is a security risk.
Rather.
So I go to the Narcissus Club, Archer Street. That was the address recommended by my service for agreeable and inquisitive company.
How very true.
Would it be against security to tell me who you are?
Between our services, there is no question of security. Captain von Blixen of the Prussian Hussars, seconded for a secret mission in England because of my knowledge of English. You, I believe, are Captain Yevgeny Petrovich.
Me? No.
Nine? In Berlin, we are taught not to have secrets from fellow officers engaged on similar missions. Let the best man win, as in chess.
It was you I saw between the curtains bringing the bottle of champagne.
Yes, I did it well. Tray on the level of the right shoulder, I received special instruction at the Hotel Adlon. High commendation from the head waiter.
What on earth do you want? I warn you, the police will be here any moment.
Do not worry, Captain Petrovich. We have much time to arrange our affair. I have studied very hard the methods of the English police. I took that course under a most distinguished professor, Dr. Heinrich Engelbein, author of that classic work, English Methods of Law Enforcement from Ethelred the Unsteady to Sir Robert Peel.
Is he? Is this fellow mad or am I mad?
Tell me, Captain von Blixen, what exactly are you after?
That gold box on the table, Lord Alfred.
And I suppose you think I am in competition with you as a graduate of the St. Petersburg School.
Not you, Lord Alfred. We know your interests very well.
Oh.
In Germany, we are not hypocrites. We have much sympathy for you and much admiration for your great poet, Mr. Oscar Wilde.
Well, actually...
But this, gentlemen, that is a different affair. I can recognize the kind of inferior training he has received.
At St. Petersburg.
Yeah, St. Petersburg.
Bosie, the man's mad.
Yes, quite.
You and I, Captain Petrovich, know that to pretend madness is part of the training of any agent. That I learnt in the psychology course under Professor Himmelstuber. I make myself clear? Nine. And now the police will have finished their interrogation of your comrade. They will have broken him, or he will have taken his pill of cyanide.
He'll have done what?
It is time for me and you to leave. So, the gold box, please.
God in Himmel, it is empty.
The money has been transferred to my pocket, Captain.
Money? I am not sent to steal money. Where are the letters?
What letters?
The letters were in the box. I saw them.
Oh, have you any letters, Bunny?
Yes, I suppose I have.
Well, unless they've fallen out on the road. I remember a bump in Boxmoor High Street.
You've dropped the letters? Then you are a disgrace even to St. Petersburg.
It comes from riding a bicycle in Tails. They kept on getting caught in the brakes. seems to be a few left.
Give them to me.
Why should I?
This is your excuse, Captain Petrovich. An agent must never kill another agent, but I am permitted to shoot you in both legs.
You really do want the letters, sir. But why? Who wrote them?
Why pretend ignorance with me? That is not football.
Cricket.
Cricket?
Oh, have them. Yeah, here they are.
Thank you. My dear Alice, it was a bitter disappointment to me not to find you at Lady Melrose's party.
Oh, I was at Lady Melrose's party.
Were you?
Silence!
Sorry.
Dearest of all Alice's, this is better. Alice, I have an appointment with my tailor at 3. That ass Willy has sent me another of his damned foreign uniforms.
Well, hardly worth a hold-up, surely. Wouldn't you rather take the gold box?
Do you think a captain of the Prussian Hussars can be bought with gold?
Put down that gun, Captain.
Oh, your Royal Highness.
Your colonel, Captain, if only an honorary one. Please point your revolver in another direction. The ceiling is more suitable, or the floor. Thank you. I don't think the Emperor would have been pleased if you'd shot his uncle. Lord Alfred, what is your part in all this?
It's all my obnoxious father's fault, sir.
What's your father got to do with it?
Well, he stopped my allowance, sir. So Mr. Raffles and my friend Bunny here, whom this gentleman insists on calling Captain Yevgeny Petrovich, were good enough to offer their services and extract it for me.
And the letters?
We had nothing to do with the letters, Your Royal, sir. Only Captain von Blixen was interested in the letters.
They don't read aloud well, Captain, do they? I'm glad you didn't reach the more passionate parts. I don't fancy seeing them published in the Frankfurter Zeitung.
I have failed, my Emperor. I shall resign my commission. I shall go to Africa.
If you're looking for lions, my dear fellow, you have only to go as far as Trafalgar Square.
Oh, yeah. Very well, sir.
Mock me if you must, Your Royal Highness, but beware that man.
Me?
Whatever he says, he is an agent of the Emperor Nicholas, and his pockets are stuffed with your letters.
What?
I'm sorry, Your Royal, sir. I don't think I have any more. Most of them fell out in Boxmoor High Street.
Boxmoor High Street?
What has happened to Raffles, sir?
Well, as far as I know, he's on the roof with your father and Inspector Mackenzie.
Why the roof, sir?
Scotland Yard. I hope they're not fighting among themselves. Raffles was convinced we should find this fellow here looking for my letters. He persuaded the inspector to release him on parole and help block the escape route.
Over the roof of the Burlington Arcade. Rather private way in an emergency. I doubt if von Blixen knows about it.
It was not von Blixen your father was concerned about, Lord Alfred. Mm. He was afraid your friend Raffles would escape with the money, so he insisted on accompanying Mr. Raffles and the inspector.
No,
Captain, please don't move. I want you to tell me why my nephew Nicholas would want my letters. Willie, I can understand, but not Nicky.
Everything my Emperor wants, Your Royal Highness. Russia always tries to snatch. One day it will be a war of armies. Now it is a war of agents.
Hey, Jay!
Raffles, what's happened?
Your father has fallen through the roof into the Burlington Arcade.
No! Is he dead?
I think so. I can't be sure. I thought I saw his leg twitch. Inspector Mackenzie is climbing down to see.
Perhaps if I went to help, I might be able to give him the coup de grace.
Unwise in the presence of the inspector. So, sir, as I told you, you found the waiter with the inferior Pommery. Have you recovered the letters?
Well, your friend Bunny seems to have dropped most of them in a place called Boxmoor.
That's unfortunate.
Sorry, AJ.
The waiter might return and recover them. That has to be prevented. Is that your revolver, waiter?
I am not a waiter. I am Captain von Blixen of the Prussian Hussars, seconded for special services.
Allow me to borrow your revolver, von Blixen. And now it will be my painful duty to ensure that you don't return to Boxmoor.
It is no good to threaten me. Even death would be less hard than the thought that I have failed my Emperor.
Admirable sentiment. I can hear Irving pronouncing it at the Lyceum. One thing, though, troubles me. Killing you is child's play, but how do we dispose of your corpse?
You could incinerate him.
But I have no incinerator.
I
have read that a bath of acid has sometimes been used, Mr. Raffles.
In Albany. We shan't even have constant hot water for another 20 years.
I suppose we might dismember him. A head, two arms, two legs and a torso. It fits. fit into that chest.
If only one of us were a surgeon. A job like that has to be done neatly. Otherwise, all sorts of undesirable bits and pieces fall out.
I must...
Surely, Captain Petrovich, they taught you to carve at the St. Petersburg School.
Petrovich?
Well, it seems the bunny here is Captain Yevgeny Petrovich of the Russian secret police.
I'm afraid I've only got a blunt bread knife, and a serrated edge may prove rather messy.
I insist on being shot as an officer and a gentleman.
Of course, of course. We're not barbarians. We will shoot you first, von Vixen. I wouldn't dream of letting him carve you up alive. But I'm not troubled about the bloodstains you'll leave on the carpet.
Surely your friend Bunny here could spread some newspapers on the floor.
Ah!
The Times is better with that than the Telegraph.
Certainly, or I'll bend things. If you'll excuse me, sir, the sight of blood always makes me feel ill. And besides, Captain von Vixen and I belong to the same club. So, with your permission, sir, I will go and see if my infernal father is still alive. I might seize an opportunity of strangling him if the inspector turns his back.
Better leave by the front door, Bezo.
Yes, sir.
You have no head for height.
Well, if you will excuse me, sir.
Strangling? Now, that is quite an idea. It would avoid blood.
I appeal to you, Your Royal Highness, as my honorary colonel. Grant me a clean death, like a soldier.
A cliché, von Blixen. A soldier's death is very seldom clean. By the way, is that your own suit? It doesn't fit you very well.
It is a hired suit from the Brothers Moss in Covent Garden. If I have to die, please see that the suit is returned. They trusted me without a deposit.
Sir, I don't like the idea of strangling. It's all very well for Lord Queensberry, but not for a man who dies in the service of your nephew.
Well, I was merely making a suggestion. I don't insist, Raffles.
I would feel like a hangman. Don't you agree, Captain Petrovich?
Who? Oh, yeah. Well, in Russia, a hangman's is an honourable profession.
All the same, as between one agent and another, wouldn't it be possible to accept his word of honour, as a captain of the Prussian Hussars, that he will not bicycle back to Boxmoor?
I would never give it. I would rather be cut up.
As you wish, von Blixen. Yevgeny Petrovich.
Papers.
Your request is granted, von Blixen. You will die a soldier's death. And your clothes will be returned untarnished to Mossbros.
So kind.
Take off your jacket. Very good. And now would you remove what our great writer, Mr. Henry James, has called the nether integuments of a gentleman?
I do not understand.
Your trousers.
Nein! I refuse. If you shoot me through the heart, the trousers will not be damaged.
Blood has a tendency to splash, von Blixen. Anyway, I'm not a good marksman. Off with your trousers, please.
If you insist.
Oh, do you need a hand, von Blixen?
Think you not.
Here we are, 3 copies of the Times.
Well done, Bunny, my boy.
Were your combinations hired, too, at Mossbros?
They are my own.
So it would appear. Captain Petrovich.
Huh?
When you've spread the papers, a double thickness, please. Blood soaks so.
Oh, absolutely.
Take the captain's clothes and lay them safely in the bedroom.
There's a little mud on the trousers.
We'll have them clean before we return them to Mossbros. You won't reconsider giving your word, von Blixen?
Nein.
A brave man, Mr. Raffles, even if absurd.
We all look absurd, sir, when we're reduced to combination.
I will protest with my dying breath that in civilized countries, one agent does not kill another agent. An agent is always exchanged.
Perhaps, after all, sir, killing is not strictly necessary. An officer of the Prussian Hussars can hardly bicycle to Boxmoor in his combinations.
Come in.
Scarlet Marquis.
Is he dead?
He hasn't moved since he fell, sir, but for one wee twitch of the right leg.
He will be mourned by the boxing profession. I don't know by whom else.
I suppose we ought to get an ambulance.
No hurry, Bunny. If he's dead, it's too late. And if he's dying, we don't want to encourage life, do we?
All the same, Lord Alfred. Porter, which is the nearest hospital?
Oh, I'd say, Your Royal Highness, it would be the St. James's Hospital for Diseases of the Skin round the corner in Soho.
I suppose they'd have an ambulance.
I couldn't be sure, sir. They deal more with walking cases.
Try them anyway on your telephone.
Yes, sir.
Bunny and I don't want to spend what's left of the night with a dead marquis. Spoil our breakfast.
Indeed.
Neither of you will take your breakfast here, sir. We'll serve you that at the yard.
No. I must refuse your invitation, Inspector. The yard as a restaurant doesn't attract me. Bunny and I are going to have a little race down the rope walk.
And you are blocking our way.
Raffles?
You're only bluffing, Raffles. The safety catch is on.
Thank you for reminding me.
You're still bluffing. You're not the killing type.
Oh, but I've changed, Inspector. In South Africa, they taught me to kill. Even dogs, when food was short.
Now be sensible, laddie. Give me that gun, and I promise to speak up for you at the trial, like I spoke up for your friend.
No, Mackenzie. I've always said I prefer a rope and a quick drop to a long, dull old age. Now get away from that door. There are many men I'd much rather shoot than you.
I tell you, give me that gun. Now if you don't give it to me, I shall come and get it.
You win, Mackenzie. Oh. Bring out your bracelets. If only you'd been in uniform, but I can't bear spoiling those bloody tweeds of yours.
Excuse me interrupting a rather personal scene, but on what charge are you arresting him?
Why, for one, sir, stealing that gold box there.
My box. And I make no charge.
The remains, sir, a matter of 500 sovereigns.
Minus 12, and all you recovered from my pocket.
Mr. Raffles, at my request, was recovering a debt. They were the allowance that dead monster owed me.
You should learn, my lord, to speak with more respect to the departed. When he slipped on the roof up there and crashed through the glass, he offered up a prayer to the Almighty.
What?
Whatever his sins, it will no go unheard.
What did he say?
He said, "My God, my lord."
Yes. Well, Inspector, there seems little you can do against Mr. Raffles.
Oh, there are still the letters, sir.
They were not stolen by these gentlemen. On the contrary, they saved them from the hands of a foreign agent sent by my nephew, the Emperor of Germany. That fellow there, in combination.
Your Highness, if I...
At least you'll let me arrest him.
Oh, I think you'll find difficulty in proving anything. There are no letters on him, and you have no warrant. Better consult your friend in the special branch. I think you'll want to exchange him, or to turn him. Isn't that the correct expression, Captain?
I am not one who can be turned, Your Royal Highness.
Bravo.
Pity.
Are all the letters recovered, sir?
Not all. Quite a number must be blowing about the High Street of Boxmoor.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, Inspector. Alice is a common name, and so, I'm afraid, is Bertie.
Your Royal Highness, would you allow me to put on my trousers? I feel a cold coming off.
Oh, very well.
Thank you, Your Highness.
Would you mind using the bedroom, Von Blixenberg?
Certainly, Your Highness.
Stay where you are, Lord Alfred.
Oh, very well, sir.
Herr Raffles, I will admit to you now what I could not admit under the threat of death. I would not be able to return to Boxmoor. Your bicycle has a puncture in both tyres.
Oh.
English tyres, of course.
Damn foreigner.
I think I've never enjoyed a long night more. Now, I look forward to a little breakfast at Marlborough House, some kidneys and bacon, a well-done steak and a pint of claret. Then I can face the humdrum world again.
But, sir, what about the foreign agent?
Oh, leave him to the special branch. I have little doubt he can claim diplomatic immunity.
And the deceased?
We will see it safely delivered to the hospital. There's one nearby that will do nicely.
Good morning to you, Inspector.
Goodbye, Your Highness.
No hard feelings, Mackenzie?
I'll not be saying goodbye to you, Raffles.
If you say so, Mackenzie.
With your permission, sir, I will leave for Victoria Station and Paris. My elder brother will bury the corpse in an adequate way.
No doubt you're off to see your friend, Mr. Wilde.
We may happen to run into each other, sir.
I don't like his tastes, but I like his plays.
Ah. Your message will hearten him, sir.
Just let him stay out of England. They manage these things so much better in France. Goodbye, Lord Alfred.
Goodbye, sir.
Be careful, my boy. Now, Mr. Raffles, I would have preferred to speak to Mr. Jones, who fought at Spion Kop. I have a request to make.
You've been very generous, sir. You have only to command.
Promise me that in future, England will know only Raffles the cricketer, and not Raffles the amateur cracksman.
Oh. Very well, sir. I promise.
Yeah. Then, good morning to you both. Look after your shoulder, Mr. Raffles. I expect to see you take the field next summer.
Sir, You've forgotten the box.
A present to Mr. Jones from Mr. Portland. Of less value than the one he gave me.
A great gentleman, Bunny. Mm-hmm. He'll make a great king, if the gods allow him time.
Hear, hear.
Well, Bunny, you voted for cricket, and cricket it will have to be.
Do you regret it very much, Edgy?
Well, it's a long, penurious winter ahead.
Well, at least there's a box to melt down, and the diamonds are fine ones.
Oh, one doesn't sell a present like that. I shall keep my Sullivans in it.
Then how shall we manage, AJ?
I think a winter on the continent is indicated, Bunny. Perhaps you might case one of the smaller chateaux of the Loire.
But AJ, you gave your word.
England, he said, Bunny. England.
You were never much good at French.
True, but I rather fancy my American accent.
Yes.
American visitors are very welcome on the Loire. Ah, von Blixen. I hope you bear us no ill will for our little comedy.
I am ashamed. I have been beaten by amateurs.
No shame at all. Here in England, the gentlemen quite often beat the players.
Where am I?
Good gracious.
Who the devil were you?
Please lie down and be quiet, Lord Queensberry. There's nothing to be alarmed about.
Where are you taking me?
To St. James's Hospital, my lord, for diseases of the skin and venereal infections.
In The Return of A.J. Raffles by Graham Greene, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran, Bunny Manders. Lord Alfred Douglas was played by David Timpson, the Prince of Wales by Edward de Souza, Inspector Mackenzie by Henry Stamper, the Marquess of Queensberry by David March, Captain von Blixen by Sean Baker, Alice by Alice Arnold, Mr. Smith by Gordon Reed, and the Maid by Melanie Hudson. The sound balance was by Chris Lewis, and the production assistant was Joe Hill. The Return of A.J. Raffles was adapted and directed by Gordon House.